South Carolina, we've been interested in the social determinants of health, and this is what this presentation is about. It's kind of a weird thing. It's kind of backwards the way most of us think about the social determinants. In South Carolina, health policy and every other kind of policy is made by wealthy white men, and that policy is informed based on the economic impact of whatever policy anyone is considering. And so most of my work experience has been in long-term care. I've been interested for 35 years in long-term care policy, particularly the need for states to balance home and community-based services with institutional care. In South Carolina, most nursing homes are owned by very wealthy persons, and we don't have any policy to try to rein in or constrain institutional expenditures, and so we spend seven times what we spend on home and community-based services on institutional long-term care. So I was quite horrified when I found that one of the state's economic policies is to attract older, wealthy retirees to the state to really improve the state's bottom line and therefore the pocketbooks of those wealthy people who control policies and economic factors in the state. Now, but I have to tell you, I was basing that on my experience in long-term care because, as you know, people get older and they get chronic diseases and they need long-term care. And particularly, the source of most long-term care, probably about 80%, comes from friends and families and neighbors. And if you relocate to South Carolina from New Jersey or New York, then those social supports are not available to you. And so this is a really bad policy. It's bad for our environment as well. South Carolina is a beautiful state, and it causes destruction of habitats, wetlands, urban sprawl, and all sorts of other things. If you've ever been to Hilton Head, you know what I'm talking about, or Myrtle Beach or any of those areas around our coast. So anyway, we started looking at this policy. Let's get rid of this. So South Carolina is a retirement destination for many seniors, and that's by purpose. And as I said earlier, that we have an active recruitment policy in the state to recruit those wealthiest persons to come primarily from northeastern states, but also some contiguous southern states to come to the state to retire, usually around the coast. That's a really attractive retirement destination. So our question was, is this a boon or really a bust to those economic policymakers? Is this going to really increase our state Medicaid rolls by bringing all these persons, older persons, into the state who will age out and spend down their resources and become Medicare and become Medicaid eligible? And as you probably know, Medicaid is the payer of choice for most long-term care expenditures. So, and we have a serious problem in our state with the growth of Medicaid expenditures. So we're wanting to, no one was asking us, but we were interested to see if this policy in the long range is going to cost the state or help the state economically. As you can see, our population of persons over age 65 is growing rapidly, and in some categories is among the the most rapid growing in an area where the population over age 65 is growing very rapidly to begin with. So we're already in a situation where there's a tremendous growth in persons over age 65 in our state. And our Medicaid expenditures, as I said earlier, are growing tremendously. Now, hopefully all of you are familiar with the social determinants of health, but if you're not, I want to refer you to a couple of resources that can really graphically help you understand that. And probably the best for me, I'm always fascinated with this, is to look at the CDC BRFSS website and look at those tables. And you can take any chronic disease, any health problem, and look at it by income and look at it by education. Those are the only measures of SES that we have in BRFSS. And you'll see an inverse relationship, a very strong inverse relationship between income and education and prevalence of disease or poor health behaviors. And that is, the higher the income and education, the lower the prevalence of those poor health behaviors or diseases are. And that goes well beyond chronic diseases. It is crime, high school dropouts, teenage pregnancy, just about any social measure, alcohol and drug abuse, any social measure that you want to look at in society, there's an inverse relationship between SES and that particular condition, or the behaviors that underlie the risk factors for those conditions. And as you know, in public health and chronic disease prevention, our risk factors are tobacco use, physical inactivity, and poor nutrition. And particularly when you look at those risk factors, you'll see that tremendous inverse relationship. So with that in mind, giving you some information about South Carolina, as you can see, our income declines with age by age group, and also educational attainment. Older people in our state are relatively poorly educated compared with those elders in other states. Now we're comparing the SES of persons over age 50 years old. In this case, we've done some fairly unusual things to construct a kind of a hybrid SES category out of the income and education categories on BRFSS. And so we've come up with several categories. All of these are composites. These are persons less than $25,000 income and high schooler education. So we have some artificial categories here that we've created. And to go further, you can see that South Carolina is substantially lower than any of those other states with which we're compared, or really the states from which older migrants are recruited to come to the state. Again, this is just just one brief sample of the social gradient and that inverse relationship, and you see that everywhere. This is not particularly uncommon, but I took this from New York's BRFSS, and these are the folks that are coming to South Carolina in that category greater than 50,000 a year in income. Those are the people that the state is recruiting to come to South Carolina. And as it turns out, and this is, should be no surprise to you, but the policymakers did not consider this, is that those folks that we're recruiting happen to be the very healthiest persons because of that inverse relationship of SES and poor health outcomes. So these persons are the least likely persons to develop a chronic disease and spend down. And since they start with very high incomes to begin with, it's unlikely that they're going to spend down their resources and become Medicaid eligible. And even though the policymakers did not really consider this when they were thinking about it, from an economic standpoint, it's turned out to be a really good policy for the state because unbeknownst to them, they're also recruiting the very healthiest and active persons who will relocate here, and they will come here with significant resources that will avoid that spend down. And this is something from Chronic Disease Prevention, the most recent article, and I felt like this was really depicts the situation in South Carolina and other areas that suffer from disproportionately high rates of chronic disease. As you can see, there's a continental poverty divide, and so we're recruiting wealthy older persons from above that continental poverty divide to come in to the very poorest areas in the nation. And as it turns out, again, that's a very good policy. So again, this is just some of the findings, and those health risks are far less for the persons that are relocating, and they have much higher incomes and have much healthier habits. They're much less likely to spend down those resources, and so the implication is that this is a really good policy from an economic standpoint, and for probably the wrong reasons. If policymakers spent more time in looking at those determinants of health and preventing chronic disease in our state, we would be a lot better off. But again, you can't argue with the success of what they've done.